There are now 35 days until the inauguration of Donald Trump. This week, President-elect Trump filled out his cabinet, naming people such as ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State and former Texas Governor Rick Perry as Energy Department head. He also canceled a press conference aimed at clearing up conflict of interest issues involving his business empire. So let's get to our weekly roundtable.
Greg Moore is here. He's former editor of the Denver Post and visiting journalism professor at the University of Colorado. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
Good to have you. And so is Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Rick, hi to you.
Great to be with you.
Okay, so biggest story of the week, clearly, Trump continues to resist the CIA's conclusion that the Russian government interfered in the election. Yesterday, Trump tweeted that if Russia or some other entity was hacking, why did the White House wait so long to act? Why did they only complain after Hillary Clinton lost? Now, we know, Rick, that that statement is not true. The administration warned about this in October. Why won't Donald Trump let this go?
This is the biggest question in Washington right now. Not just why doesn't he let it go, but also why doesn't he accept what the intelligence community has said with consensus, that there was an attempt by the Russians to infiltrate the election. He is chalking it all up to politics, and seems that his initial response is, if you say anything about Russian hacking, you're questioning the legitimacy of his election. I think they are different issues, and they are important issues, and I think it's now going to be put back on the Obama administration, as you point out, 35 more days as president, to produce evidence, perhaps, to push forward investigation, to say publicly what his concerns may or may not be have been before the election, and to push this ahead, because clearly the incoming Trump administration wants it to go away.
Well, and let's listen to what the White House had to say about this. This is White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest at a White House press conference.
Mr. Trump obviously knew that Russia was engaged in malicious cyber activity that was helping him and hurting Secretary Clinton's campaign.
And then Trump responded by attacking Earnest at a rally last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Although this foolish guy, Josh Earnest, I don't know if he's talking to President Obama. You know, having the right press secretary is so important because he is so bad the way he delivers a message. He can deliver a positive message and it sounds bad.
Greg, we heard early on in the transition President Obama and President-elect Trump talking in very nice ways about one another. Is that breaking down because of this?
Oh, definitely. I think that marks the end of the nicey-nicey, you know, Donald Trump. I really like him a lot. I think the gloves are coming off. I think Obama's had a look at how the Trump administration is being put together. It's an all-out assault on his legacy, and I think he's going to take the gloves off, and I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth, more than what we're accustomed to with a former president. Once Obama leaves the White House, I think he's going to be taking on Trump and his policies in a full-throated way. Mm.
Rick, we may get a clue to this in just a couple of hours because President Obama has a press conference today. How do you expect him to thread that needle?
I think this is actually a defining moment, not just in this period of the lame duck period, but potentially for his entire legacy. How this transition happens, what kind of cloud and suspicions and handoff we're talking about, so critical here. President Obama, whatever you say about him, has clearly done his best to try to make this an orderly and peaceful transition with as many good feelings as possible. He and Donald Trump, we're told, have spoken multiple times directly. But there is a snag, and there is significant concern between the teams. There's mistrust among the teams. And right now, the very real issue, a national security issue that's being raised by his team and his intelligence agencies, how he responds to that, how does he respond to the calls for even intelligence briefings for members of the Electoral College? Does he believe that the election was actually influenced by the Russians? Those are key questions for him to answer that I think have long-term implications.
Let's talk about the Trump cabinet that is shaping up. And after that long dance with Mitt Romney, we finally found out that the pick for Secretary of State is Rex Tillerson, CEO of ExxonMobil. And he's already getting some criticism or maybe a roadblock from some Republican senators, including Lindsey Graham, who had this to say on Fox News.
My question, Mr. Tillerson, do you realize what Russia's up to here and all over the world, and are you willing to do something about it? Do you support new sanctions? And if he doesn't, I'd be very hard for me to vote for him because you're giving a green light to this behavior.
Now, we've talked on this show this week about the fact that filibusters aren't going to work for these because the Democrats changed the rules, so they only need a majority in the Senate to get these nominees through. But, Greg, do you see Tillerson and maybe others facing some trouble getting confirmed?
I think there are going to be some tough questioning. It's an important opportunity for the Democrats to flex their muscle and really show that they can be an effective opposition to a Trump administration. But I think these nominees are going to be confirmed. I also think it's important to understand that Tillerson and some of these other business people, it's totally different when you're running a business and you're dealing with heads of state and that kind of thing. I think Tillerson will be able to sort of respond to Graham's questions in a way that will not lead to the blocking of his nomination. It's totally different being a diplomat than being a businessman.
Rick, what do you think about that? Because I know you spoke with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who is a Democrat, and he told you that he might actually vote for Tillerson's confirmation. At least he's open to doing so. That would make the road a lot smoother.
Oh, he sounds like a yes vote, and I think there are a couple of Democrats, and Manchin most prominent among them, that are actually going to work pretty well with this Trump White House. Manchin also saying that he's already talked more with President-elect Trump than he ever talked over 8 years with President Obama, despite the fact that they're from opposite parties.
That's fascinating. What does that say to you about Donald Trump?
Well, it says that Trump has been given some good briefing notes on who to potentially talk to. There are people like Joe Manchin that functionally are more Republican than Democrat, and you can pick them off on some things. And he's not going to be known and never is going to be known as a post-partisan figure, a bipartisan figure, but there will be Democrats that he will intrigue with some of his outreach. And I think whether it's cabinet appointments or some of his early pushes around legislation, look at the infrastructure package that they seem to be putting together, they're going to find some ways to work with Democrats. So that's one of the ways that he is already changed Washington, is that there's opportunities for bipartisanship that just weren't there and wouldn't have been there, frankly, if Hillary Clinton had won in all likelihood.
Donald Trump can't. Greg. Yeah.
One of the things I'm really anxious to see is, you know, there's been a clamoring in this country probably since the time of Perot to see what it would be like if you had businessmen running the government and if government was run like a business. And I think that's one of the things we're going to find out in these first couple of years of the Trump administration. It's going to be interesting to see.
Donald Trump canceled this planned press conference this week to talk about his conflicts of interest, and we're hearing more about his son's activity in the transition, and now that Ivanka Trump may be in the First Lady's office in the White House, or what's traditionally been the First Lady's office in the White House, that's Donald Trump's daughter. Rick, is he going to separate himself from his business? Is his family going to be running the business and working in the White House, or how might this play out?
By all accounts, he is not going to separate himself with anywhere near the bright lines that ethics experts inside and outside the government say are necessary. And there's very little that can be done about it other than asking questions of congressional oversight and scrutiny. Of course, he promised a press conference to talk about these things. He canceled it. He said that these are actually very easy things to figure out. They're the opposite of that. And to me, the big looming building just half a mile from the White House, that the Trump International Hotel, where already people are renting out space for holiday parties, and it's going to be a destination with literally his name on it.
Is he going to be able to keep that? Because isn't there something written that says you can't be a part of the federal government and part of this contract?
Technically, he'll be in violation of the contract the moment he takes the oath of office. The question is what's done about it, and how do you actually spin that off if the kids are in charge and you know the kids are in part of the transition team and one of the kids is part of the White House and the West Wing and a son-in-law is there? It's all so interconnected. This is utterly uncharted territory, and to have a national, international brand, all the foreign entanglements, the financial interests, and Donald Trump hasn't really said anything about how he's going to sort it out.
And here's another example. This week, Trump's children were there when he held a summit with tech CEOs earlier this week. They were at the table sitting down with people like Tim Cook of Apple, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Elon Musk of Tesla. Greg, what are your thoughts on these conflicts of interest potentials for him?
I think running our government is not a family business. I agree completely with Rick that the separation of his personal interest from his role as the leader of our government is nowhere near where it needs to be. And I think journalism and journalists are going to have a field day. The leaks that are going to be coming out of the federal government about what Trump has done or how policy has influenced his business and things like that, there's no way that Trump, as president, can plug all of those potential leaks. And people inside his own government are going to be reporting on the conflicts and the things that are not happening the way they should be. So I think that he's going to get off to a very rocky start from day one because of, you know, his involvement of his families and his refusal to disentangle himself from his business interest.
Rick, just a few seconds here, but just on the Democratic side, we know that Labor Secretary Tom Perez is getting into the race to run the DNC against Keith Ellison of Minnesota. And what do you think will happen there?
There may be other candidates as well. There's a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party because they're trying to figure out, do you go more in the liberal direction, do you more conservative direction, more of a rural direction?
Right.
They are in tatters as a party right now, and they're just beginning that rebuilding process. And I think this fight, as it plays out with the establishment against more of the liberal ring in Ellison, will be a critical one.
That's Rick Klein of ABC News and Greg Moore at the University of Colorado. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Happy holidays.
You too. It's Here and Now.